You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Democratic Party victory in the U.S. midterm elections last week is widely seen as a referendum on the Bush administration's occupation of Iraq. United for Peace and Justice has described the results as a clear popular mandate for peace and is calling on the new Congress to take immediate action to end the war. United for Peace and Justice is a coalition of more than 1,300 local and national groups throughout the United States. It formed 4 years ago to coordinate efforts to oppose the Iraq War. George Martin is one of three national co-chairs for United for Peace and Justice. He's been to Iraq and he's involved in international organizing efforts. And he joins me on the line this morning from New York. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
Your organization has said that the midterm election results are a vote for peace. Why do you say that?
Well, we say that because of the shift and the actual issue that Iraq was the number one issue in the country and the outcome of it. You know, the change in the House, the change in Congress, the dumping of Rumsfeld. You know, these are areas that we have worked on for 4 years and very intently toward this midterm during the last 9 months in terms of our campaigns. So, you know, we do see this as a referendum on the war, and at the same time we see it as a referendum on Bush's other policies. You know, labor made great effort in terms of pushing minimum wage, the immigrant movement, lots of defeats throughout the states. The women's movement defeating South Dakota, a very strong anti-abortion bill, and the gay and lesbian communities, you know, in terms of their efforts throughout the states, and defeated some of the strongest anti-gay marriage referendums that have come out. And you know what's significant is these constituents: labor, immigrants, women's, LGBT, are part of the anti-war peace movement.
You speak about the intensifying organization that you've been doing, particularly over the last 9 months. What kinds of activities were you engaged in running up to the election?
Well, we're engaged in peace voter work, and from that standpoint, seeking candidates to sign pledges not to support the war and to join in on legislation against the war. We've been involved in legislative work, lobbying very intensely, which began a year ago, September 26th, when we had the largest grassroots lobbying day in history as a part of our weekend in Washington, 550 congressional office visits. And our legislative working group has continued to drive that and to work with the Out of Iraq group, you know, in Congress. Many of our groups have been involved in establishing what's called peace voter guides, where we surveyed congressional candidates and produced documents comparing their positions, not only around bringing our troops home, but around other issues of peace, such as new nuclear weapons testing or torture. And that kind of distribution has really been significant in terms of our work.
So a lot of really grassroots efforts to get people to really think about what the issues were.
Yes, and in our fall campaign, and again, joining in with other allies, was about what's called the Declaration of Peace. And for months leading up to September 21st, we did intensive lobbying. And what's significant is this came from the faith-based community on our congresspeople in terms of joining in against this war. And on September 21st, the International Day of Peace, there was nonviolent civil disobedience across the country at congressional offices and other venues that were resistant toward joining in against this war, and that continued for a week. And really substantial rallies and demonstrations and teach-ins and forums as a part of leading up to this midterm election.
Now tell me about something that you were involved in called the Campaign for Cities and Towns. What was that all about?
Well, you know, it began 2 years ago in Vermont, where 52 communities came together and in town hall meetings and send a strong message and tie it together, you know, the connection between the war in Iraq and their loss of leadership and resources in local communities. And here in Wisconsin, and I'm talking to you from New York from our meeting, but I'm from Wisconsin. In the spring election, we had 32 communities on the ballot through referendum, which meant that, you know, in the true sense of local democracy, people of peace went through their community to discuss this issue and have people sign on to a petition to get a ballot referendum, you know, on the ballot to bring our troops home. And the language varied from community to community. But in Wisconsin, we had 32 communities, and we won 26 of those. And that inspired a lot of other communities. And I'll tell you, last week we had 9 communities in Wisconsin, 139 in Massachusetts, and in others throughout other states. Cook County, which encompasses the whole city of Illinois, so the whole city of Chicago, had a 79% vote to bring our troops home. And we were 100% in these other communities that I mentioned. So that significant discussion, you know, raised the level of understanding in those communities as people went out to vote, and also sent a very cohesive message to both incumbents and candidates in terms of the will of the people.
I want to ask you what you make of the resignation of the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, you know, this has been part of what many of our groups have called for from the very beginning. With this very strong and clear message that was sent on Election Day, you know, it obviously, you know, put the Bush administration into a position of having to make some changes. They changed the rhetoric from stay the course to a flexible schedule. And so we see this as a real concession in terms of the political atmosphere in the Beltway in moving into this new era. We're also cautious about this new era, too.
What do you think we can expect from Robert Gates?
Well, you know, number one, you know, he's a recommended appointee of George W. Bush, and with that carries a lot of baggage. Also, there's baggage from the Iran-Contra affairs. You know, some folks in the Beltway say, well, you know, he's taking a position that we should be talking to Iran, as opposed to our current positions, you know, and that's positive. But at the same time, you know, we're very cautious about this, and we don't consider it in an automatic approval.
George, what do you think are the prospects for a withdrawal of troops from Iraq under the Democrats?
Well, you know, I remind people that it just wasn't the Bush administration that voted for preemptive attack. It was the majority of our Congress. And, you know, a lot of the discussion and the posturing since the election, Tony Snow, the spokesperson for the president, is talking about co-shouldering the war with the Democrats. We don't see it as a victory as of yet. We see it as a continued effort in terms of this new Congress and what they do.
What do you think needs to happen now in Iraq? What would be the approach that you would like to see taken?
Well, our demands from the very beginning have been to bring the troops home now. And that's taken in the context of let's make this decision and move the process forward. Also, as a part of that, it's removing all military bases. It's allowing for reparations and reconstruction by the Iraqi people as opposed to multinational corporations. It also means removing private contractors and multinational corporations who are profiteering in Iraq. But the most important thing is that the will of the Iraqi people be heard and those major decisions be made by them. You know, a majority, 87% on the last Associated Press poll, said that they wanted us to come home, irregardless of civil war, and also with the feeling that they will end up being one country when it's over. So we have to honor that. We have to honor the 71% of our troops in Iraq who say they want to come home. And now this vast, you know, consensus from the American people in terms of their will to say that we should come home.
You're in New York at a two-day meeting of United for Peace and Justice. What kinds of discussions are you having about the kind of organizing needed to go forward?
Well, you know, our discussions are centering around, you know, what we need to do and what we need to continue to do, and what's worked and what hasn't worked. And I'll tell you, from the standpoint of moving to this consensus, a lot of things that we've been doing have been working. You know, whether it be the mass mobilizations coming together in New York or Washington, D.C. once a year, or the decentralized efforts where there are 400, you know, substantial events happening around the third anniversary all around the country, or the global efforts where 60, 65 countries join us in terms of solidarity events against this war, or whether it's in those weekly vigils in the thousands of small towns and big cities and people standing on the corner expressing their opinion. All these things, along with the campaigns and the work that we've done, have brought us to this point. And we need to continue to do that. Also, you know, we're here to strategize as to how to deal with this new Congress, you know, in light of what's happened, and also in light of history, in terms of what happened after the Vietnam War.
Right. Something really to consider.
Yes.
Well, George, thanks very much for joining me this morning, and congratulations on what must feel like a significant victory for you this week.
Oh, yes, and congratulations to the American people in those significant constituencies that came out. You know, in one of our analyses is that a lot of this vote had to do more with our deaths and the quagmire, and that it's not working, you know, as opposed to really facing up to the fact that the United States is wrong for going to Iraq and for staying. So our job is still in front of us in terms of this continual educational process, especially with moving this Congress to legislative action.
Well, good to talk to you today, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
I've been speaking with George Martin. He is a co-chair with United for Peace and Justice. And to connect to their website and learn more about their activities, you can find a direct link at cooperadio.org/redeye.